Hello and welcome to Double Stint, Sports Car 365 Sports Car Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Grace, and I'm joined today by Sports Car 365 Editor-in-Chief, John DeGeese. John, how was your week?
It was pretty good. How about yours, Jonathan?
It was pretty good, thanks. We've got a great show for you today, folks. We'll quickly recap the weekend's racing action, give you the news of the week, and of course give you a preview of what's coming up in the world of sports car racing. All that and more on this week's edition of Double Stint. Well, let's dive right in. The 2023 DTM season kicked off this weekend at Aschersleben for a pair of rounds to open this year's championship. And a couple of things look a little bit different this year in the DTM. A new points system, some updated rules, a new sustainable fuel on board as well, all of which were seen for the first time this weekend. So you can read the full story from Davey Ovema on the website, but we'll give you a quick overview of some of these changes. We mentioned the new scoring system. It's kind of revised. It's similar, but a little bit different from what we saw last year, with more cars able to score points each race. We're also seeing the introduction of a penalty zone, and this is kind of an interesting take on drivers being penalized. Drivers now have to drive through a penalty zone rather than come down pit lane, per se, to serve a drive-through penalty. And this zone is on track at one of the corners where they have to drive through at a reduced speed. This can happen multiple times depending on the severity of the penalty issued. But the idea is that this will be better for the spectators and a little more straightforward and a little more lenient for the drivers as well. The races are also just a little bit longer, so one full hour of action plus a lap. One full hour of action plus a lap. And for the first time in the series history, they'll be running a sustainable fuel supplied by Shell. When the racing began, it was Frank Pereira who took the win in race one. It was a lights to flag victory for his first win in the DTM in the number 94 SSR Performance Lamborghini Huracan GT3 Evo 2. And he crossed the line with a gap of nearly 4 seconds to the number 9 Talksport WRT Porsche of Tim Heineman. And Jack Aitken for ML Frey completed the podium. Now, this wasn't only Pereira's first victory, it was the first DTM victory for Lamborghini as well, so starting off the season with a couple of firsts. And if it was Lamborghini's day on Saturday, it was certainly Porsche's day on Sunday. A clean sweep of the podium in race two with Christian Engelhardt taking his first victory in DTM. And it wasn't just Porsche's in the top three, it was Porsche's 1-2-3-4. An incredible showing for the German manufacturer. But Engelhardt took his number 99 Talksport WRT Porsche 911 GT3R to a narrow victory, just 0.8 seconds over the sister car, the number 9. And Manti EMA, Thomas Preining and Dennis Olsen finished 3rd and 4th. As always, you can go further into detail on the races in the race reports on sportscar365.com. While it wasn't wheel-to-wheel racing, we saw a two-day test at the Circuit de Spa-Francorchamps ahead of the Intercontinental GT Challenge's 24 hours of Spa, just getting closer and closer. The two-day test was led in the timing sheets by ComTU, Christopher Hasse leading the first day, and Max Hofer leading day two. The Audis certainly looked quick as everybody tried to get the laps in ahead of SRO's largest endurance race of the season and one of the most exciting GT3 races out there. You can go into depth into the Spa 24-hour test coverage on the website on sportscar365.com. And of course, you can follow along with all the weekend's racing action in Dan Lloyd's weekly racing roundup on sportscar365.com. Well, John, let's move into talking about the news of the week, and we've got some really exciting headlines here. We'll start with this. Le Mans is now just around the corner, and Tom Christensen has been named as its Grand Marshal. Tom Christensen is one of the greats in endurance racing and certainly one of the greats at Le Mans. He is the 9-time Le Mans winner, the most successful driver ever at the French Endurance Classic, and he will lead the 62-car field to green on the formation lap. It's a very fitting Grand Marshal to join some of the greats of late. Gerard LaRousse, Derek Bell, Emmanuel Pirro, and Hurley Haywood, to name just a few. Alongside Christensen's naming as well, Akio Toyoda has been awarded the Spirit of Le Mans. If you think about winning Le Mans recently, Toyota is the name that comes to mind, and Akio Toyoda, certainly a deserving recipient of the Spirit of Le Mans award. But John, exciting to have more details about the Grand Marshal and the Spirit of Le Mans winner just a couple weeks out from the running of the 24 hours.
Yeah, we got the news on Monday that Tom Christensen, 9-time Le Mans winner, will be the Grand Marshal for this year's 24 Hours of Le Mans. He was the Grand Marshal back in 2015. But this is obviously the 100th anniversary of the race. The race is centenary, and Tom was previously announced as an ambassador for this race. So it makes a lot of sense to get this appointment for this event. He's the most successful driver at the 24 hours. And I think personally, it's the best decision for everybody involved here. We also got news that the Spirit of Le Mans Award, which is recognized annually for people who, quote, embody the values of endurance racing, end quote, that include team and manufacturer directors and whatnot, is going to Toyota chairman Akio Toyoda. He's been a longtime stalwart of Toyota's programs at the 24 Hours of Le Mans, Toyota having won the last five editions of the race. And Mr. Toyota himself has been a driver, too. He took part in last weekend's Fuji 24 Hours and has previously driven in the Nürburgring 24. So I think the ACO hit the ball out of the park for both of these nominations. And it just sort of builds up the anticipation for this race even more.
We have some lineup news for the 24 Hours of Le Mans as well. Jacques Villeneuve has been replaced by Tristan Vautier at Van Wall Racing. The Canadian ex-Formula One driver and world champion will not be participating in the world's largest endurance race. Citing personal reasons and a lack of mileage, Van Wall says that they don't feel that he is quite ready. We know that he's been involved in numerous incidents early in the season, John, and apparently this has contributed to the decision. But either way, it's going to be Vautier over Villeneuve at Van Wall.
Yeah, and also the fact that he's sort of been off the pace compared to his teammates in the first couple races of the season. I think there was a combination of factors in what went into this decision. Obviously, it was a tough decision because Villeneuve's credentials, you know, sort of speak for themselves, and he's a top line driver and everything like that. But at 52 years old, driving a hypercar class car, not having that much experience with this platform at all, I think replacing him with Tristan Vautier makes the most sense for this race. We'll have to see what happens later in the season at the 6 hours of Monza and what the lineup will be there. We know Villeneuve tested at Monza a few weeks back with Esteban Gutierrez and Tom Dillman, their other full season drivers. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. But certainly this was one of the big storylines last week when we got the news, when our Dan Lloyd was the first to report it. But let's wait and see what the future actually holds for Villeneuve in for the remainder of the WEC season.
And this will be an interesting one, John, to take absolutely nothing away from Tristan Vautier, who is an absolutely fantastic driver, especially in prototype machinery. We've seen what he can do in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. He's only been to Le Mans once. So how does that play a factor as well? Because he may not only be getting up to grips with the car, which he'll be driving for the very first time during the June 4th test day, but also kind of with the race itself, having only done it once.
Yeah, although I think he's a well-accomplished driver that has a lot of prototype experience, and sure, he did only have one previous start. I believe it was an LMP2 a few years back, but nonetheless, I'd rate him as a top-line driver. He was certainly in line for the JDC Miller drive with the Porsche 963. He actually still may be in line for the Michelin Endurance Cup races. We haven't yet had that confirmed, but I rate Tristan very highly, and as long as all three drivers are able to keep the car out of the wall and not have any mechanical issues from the car from the team side, I think this program could have a pretty good run there.
And continuing with our WEC lineup news, we know that Harry Tinknell and Gianmaria Bruni have been confirmed as two of the pilots for Proton Competition's customer Porsche 963, which debuts at Monza later this year. There's been kind of speculation that it would be these two, and now it's been confirmed. Of course, we're still waiting on the full lineup, but we know it is going to be Tinknell and Bruni to start.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is Proton will scale back from 2 to 1 Porsche 911 RSR 19s for Monza. The number 77 car, spearheaded by team boss Christian Reed, will still be there. So he'll keep his streak of having started every single WEC race to date intact, hopefully, if everything goes to plan. But we do have this exciting new entry, the number 99 Porsche 963 of Harry Tinknell and Jimmy Bruni. We will have a third driver joining them that hasn't yet been announced at the time of our recording. But certainly Harry and Jimmy were the two drivers that were basically given the nod for this role. I think we can expect them in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship as well once their second car comes online, starting at the Road America race in August. it really doesn't come as a huge surprise with these two, Harry being a Multimatic factory driver, Jimmy being a Porsche factory driver, Multimatic being the chassis constructor, and Porsche, obviously, it's being a Porsche. So, you know, there'd been a lot of talk about these two guys being in the frame for the race seats once the Proton car came online, and great to see Christian Reed and all involved living up to their promise there of getting these two hot shoes a chance in the top prototype class.
And interestingly, John, as of the Monza weekend, it'll be 13 hypercar entries matching 13 GTE AM entries. Really exciting to see these two classes be the same number. I have a feeling it's not going to end there, but it's great to see the growing hypercar field now equal and level, at least for this round, with the GT field.
Yeah, and I think it's going to grow more in 2024. We're obviously going to have Alpine in the top class, Lamborghini coming into the mix, potentially some more Porsche customer cars, BMW debuting with the two WRT entries, in WEC, that is. So, this is probably the last time we'll probably see the two categories on equal footing. Obviously, GTE AM getting replaced by LMGT3 next year, but we'll have probably the same amount of GT3 cars is my estimate, maybe a few more, depending on the grid spaces for 24.
With the provisional entry list out, we've seen some other changes as well to the 37-car field. We mentioned 13 hypercars, 13 in GTE-AM, 11 in LMP2 so far. We know that Ben Hanley and Guido Vandergaard will replace Philippe Albuquerque and Tom Blomqvist in P2 for United Autosports due to the clash with the CTMP round in IMSA. We'll see Prema with some reshuffling as well, and there's an incomplete lineup for Glickenhaus as of yet. Of course, this is just the provisional entry list. The official one is to come, and of course, we'll keep you posted as anything changes and develops on the website. Well, John, during the recap, we mentioned the Spa 24 test, and speaking of the Spa 24, looking ahead to 2024, we understand that SRO is still waiting on the 24 Hours of Spa date to shape the 2024 calendar, and this is largely to do, or almost entirely to do, with Formula One and their selection of the date. We know that that played a huge factor this year, so much so that the traditional Spa date at the end of July was moved so that Formula One could have the slot at the Circuit de Spa-Francorchamps. And according to your conversation with Stefan Rattel, it could be a similar situation here, but everybody's just kind of waiting on confirmation before the calendar can move forward.
I had a good chat with Stefan Rattel during the recent SRO America event at Circuit of the Americas, and he pretty much revealed that they're still waiting to sort of figure out what the date for the CrowdStrike 24 Hours of Spa will be next year before being able to shape the remainder of their calendars across all SRO championships. He stressed that that date is sort of like the centerpiece for everything, not just in Europe, but in America, in Asia, and Australia, to make sure there's no clashes directly with the Spa 24 date to allow teams from all around the world to compete. We're seeing quite a few American entries taking part this year. There's always been Asian entries in the past, and certainly this event has grown like gangbusters in recent years. We have 72 GT3 cars entered for this year, and this year's date has been moved forward to late June, early July, due to Formula One taking the date of the event. It's usually run in the end of July. And Stefan told me he's hoping that they ultimately can retake that date. There's still no word if F1's going to come back in 2024. But I think that was a similar case last year with this. And the deal sort of came together pretty late with F1 renewing with Spa for this season. So no word yet on when this will all happen. One thing for sure is that we will not get the 2024 calendars announced during the Spa weekend this year, just because it's almost four weeks earlier in the calendar year this year. SRO has always pushed it really tight to get the calendar confirmed during the traditional Spa weekend, where they like announcing all of their programs for the following year. But we're not going to be seeing that just because of everything that's going on here and a lot of things still in flux.
And John, you also had a calendar-related conversation with SRO America's Greg Gill, who told you that a new event is likely for 2024.
Yeah, it looks like SRO America may be going to a new venue next year. Still no word on where it'll be, but it would replace one of the current tracks on the SRO America schedule. We know the contract with Indianapolis, I believe, is up at the end of this year, so that could be something that's in flux. We know that SRO has planned trips to some new tracks being built in various parts of the states. I think one in Texas and one in the Carolinas. So certainly interesting times to see what can happen. We know the last time SRO tried to go to a new track was at Ozarks International Raceway, and there was a lot of issues with some safety-related concerns there that ultimately had them go to NOLA, which has been a pretty successful event for them in the last two seasons, bringing in a lot of cars and interest for sure in New Orleans. So I like the idea, what Greg said, of trying to go to at least one new venue every year. We don't have that this year with SRO America, but certainly moving forward, I think that's the goal from that organization.
And sticking with SRO, we know that Stefan Rattel is targeting a GT2 showcase event at Indianapolis with the Indy 8 Hour, the final round of the Intercontinental GT Challenge. Tell us just a little bit more about this and what you learned from Stefan.
Stefan told me that he's trying really hard to get GT2 cars for the GT America powered by AWS season finale at Indianapolis later this year, hoping to get at least one car from each of the five manufacturers that are currently active: Audi, KTM, Maserati, Mercedes-AMG, and Porsche. We know the Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo is also eligible, I think, as well as the Brabham, but he didn't specifically mention those cars. I think he's really focused on what customer cars that are currently being offered as for sale to teams and looking for growth in this platform. Currently in North America, the only GT2 car that is semi-active is an Audi R8 LMS GT2 from CJ Moses that runs with GMG Racing. He hasn't run this year yet, but I think there's some plans to do some races later in the season in GT America. GT2 cars have been eligible in GT America for quite a few years. I think it's been since the championship's inception three seasons ago. And we saw some Porsches for the first season, and then the Audi, a couple different Audis actually run under GMG here or there. But there's been no significant traction. And Stefan is really hoping that there can be a more concerted effort to get more customers on board with this platform in North America, considering the slow growth it's been enjoying in the GT2 European Series. We had the kickoff at Monza a couple of weeks ago. Red Bull Ring was last weekend. We saw the Mercedes GT2 car claim its first win at the Red Bull Ring last weekend. And certainly the platform seems to be improved with the Porsche GT2 Evo helping raise the performance window for the class overall. And there's certainly a lot of momentum on that side, at least in Europe. And I think Stefan has this goal of creating GT2 classes around the world. And I know we've talked about this in previous shows and everything, but I think he can really make it happen if there's a big enough demand and big enough incentive to do it. And having a kickoff or a showcase race per se at Indianapolis makes a lot of sense. It would run within the GT3 and GT4 cars in GT America. It won't be a standalone race or anything. But that's what he envisions. He likes the point of integrating GT2 into an existing series instead of having to build one up from scratch like he's done it with the GT2 European Series. So have to wish him the best of luck. We'll have to see where it goes. I know he has similar plans for a potential race in the Middle East in December as a support race for the Gulf 12 Hours. So it's interesting to see how SRO is trying to plant the seed for GT2 on all corners of the globe right now.
Let's quickly take you through what's coming up this week in the world of sports car racing. Of course, the big one is we will have the 24 Hours of Le Mans test day at the Circuit de la Sarthe, the June 4th test day. That's a big one. It really kicks off the Le Mans race week, and this is going to be the biggest Le Mans I think we've seen in a long time. It's going to be a fantastic one to see. There's so much energy and excitement coming in. The grids are set. We know who's going to be there. I think looking in the hypercar class as well, you look at how many cars Porsche Penske is bringing, how many cars Cadillac is bringing. Cadillac, of course, bringing over the physical car from IMSA as well. These manufacturers and teams are doing everything they can to put their best foot forward. Yes, Toyota is still the fastest, but we talked about this after Spa. the gap is definitely closing. The Ferraris look quick. The Cadillacs look quick. The Porsches look quick. It's all starting to come together. Teams are running special liveries. It's going to be a really, really special one to see. We're really excited. And as part of this, Sportscar 365 is bringing you daily coverage during Le Mans week, Monday through Friday, with special double stint at Le Mans episodes from the team on the ground there. So make sure to stay tuned for the daily podcast coverage at the Circuit de la Sarthe. You definitely don't want to miss it. We'll also have Fanatec GT World Challenge Europe, powered by AWS Endurance Cup, taking on Paul Ricard, and Super GT will be at Suzuka. As always, you can follow along with all the weekend's racing action over on sportscar365.com. Well, that's it for us this week on the show. If you have the time, we greatly appreciate a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice. It really helps out the show. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you're tuning in from. For John DeGeese, I'm Jonathan Grace. We'll see you right back here next week for a double stint at Le Mans.